Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Your job and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the troll, it's because they sink sardines. Will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
I'll take him out, son. I mean that. Take him.
Welcome, wherever in the world you are listening, and thank you for joining us.
Yes.
This is Keys and Grey, the podcast with myself.
And myself.
Yeah, but I haven't identified myself.
Well, I think they know who you are. It's called Keys and Grey.
Well,
it's a good chance we're both of them. And my voice is definitely not English, and yours is definitely not Scottish.
Anyway, we were making headlines last week, I'm very pleased
were
to
we?
Say. Yeah, good ones.
All right.
Our conversation with André Villas-Boas, and thank you again, André, for joining us.
Yes,
being as honest as you were, it was a fantastic 40 minutes or so. It caused a real stir. Especially the revelations on Tottenham and his departure.
Yes.
As Daniel Levy tried to sell him to PSG. I really enjoyed talking to André, and it's available last week's EP. I think that's what you say these days. Yeah, EP. I would lean more towards using the word episode.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
The EP is available. You can go back and find it. But I must say, I was still smiling, Andy, for a couple of days thinking about him and Sir Bobby when they were in the same car heading to training with Mourinho. Yeah. And then Bob and him going over to the cricket club in Porto for a glass of rosé. And illegally, I would have to say.
I think they were doing homework.
Yeah, watching Sky and Blackburn's title success all those years ago. If you are a new listener, do please subscribe, share and leave a review. We're available on all platforms. You can also ask your smart speaker to find it like this. Alexa, play Keys and Grey, the podcast.
I haven't got it yet.
Oh, I didn't think you had it.
The shop's been shot when I went up there.
You can also follow us on Twitter and Insta at Keys and Grey Pod. Spell it out in its entirety, Keys and Grey. Thank you for all our listeners and to all our listeners, particularly those of you who have just discovered us. Okay, here we go.
Where am I?
This is easy.
Is it?
There's been a big spike in listening this week. I am known for my bright lights and being part of a group of islands.
Uh-huh.
You could be uptown, midtown, or in your case, downtown.
Uptown, midtown. Well, that's New York, isn't it?
Correct. Lady Liberty smiles on me. I am known as the Big Apple. I am New York, so welcome to all of you listening in New York and indeed right across America.
Excellent.
I like this morning.
What's up?
The Dalai Lama. When you talk, you're only repeating what you already know. But if you listen, you may learn something new.
Yeah. It's not for me to criticise the Dalai Lama, right? Because he's quite a well-read man, from what I can think. But isn't that kind of stating the obvious?
Not really. What
well, if you say to me, my name's Richard Keys, and I'm 65 years of age, and I'm sitting across from Andy Gray. You know that?
No, I don't, because
I'm
not 65. That's the first thing I would say. That's inaccurate. Secondly, there's a difference between hearing and listening. You've maybe heard what I said this morning, but if you listen, that's the message. Listen.
What would you say?
I like that. I like that a lot. Now, our guest today, in contrast to the seriousness, or large parts of last week's podcast were so. It was, I said, fascinating listening to Andre, but I hope we're going to have what Ray, the late great Ray Wilkins, would describe as a little bit of a chuckle up.
A little chuckle up
yesterday.
You allowed that, you said.
Yes.
Can you? Can you have a chuckle
up? An individual who means the world to me, you, and those of us here at Be In Sports. He's a really good mate of ours.
Are we going there right now?
No.
I was going to see a couple.
I'm just. I'm leaving it hanging.
Right.
Those of you who want to try to work out who this is, he was once swapped for a bag of footballs.
Yes, and the other team get the best deal from my memory.
In fairness, a bag of footballs and 500 quid.
Correct. Well, that's all right then.
And it did, when I rang him this week and said, will you join us, memories came flooding back of a number of different incidents down the years. One of them at Leicester. Do you remember it all kicking off in the tunnel when Leicester
played this particular team?
Yes, had beaten Liverpool, I think. They did beat them, yeah, by a goal to nil. And you incorrectly identified the goal scorer.
Right.
As Adi Akin Badbai.
That was just a Freudian slip. I think that's a story that history has embellished.
Oh, you
yes,
really?
I do.
It's funny that, because this is the only occasion you've ever argued whether that was indeed the case or
well,
not.
Well, I don't want to upset Adi, to be fair, but did I really say that?
Yes,
that
for a long time he didn't. At Leicester, look as though he was going to produce the big money that had been spent on him. And then my mind moved to a number of other misidentifications that
from
we've
me?
Had down the years. Yes.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Do you remember Rowan Atkinson playing for Morton?
And Frank Spencer playing for Chelsea. Remember wee John Spencer? I used to call him Frank Spencer.
And Kenny Schwantz.
Kenny Schwantz. Playing for Arsenal. What was his name? Schwartz?
Yes.
Kenny Schwantz. He's quick.
Oh dear.
Well, it's not easy when you've got 3,000 players' names to try and remember. And,
no.
And remember in those days, in 92, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
In 92, how many foreigners at the beginning of the Premier League were playing in the First Division or the Premier League?
Jan Algafjortoft was an early guest because he was one of, I think, six foreigners that were playing in the Premier League. And the reason we asked him to join us was that he was unique in those days.
That's right.
I mean, just become a really good mate as well. I mean, I love Jan to bits, but we didn't realise until we'd spent that afternoon with him what a good guy he is.
Yes.
But that's how few there were.
Exactly. So it was easy for me just to remember six names. Now, you're lucky if you get six British names in the Premier League. Well, you are, aren't you? Think
yes.
about it.
Yes.
And the other thing that doesn't help now is that these commentators keep changing the pronunciation of every player.
Well, that's important.
Why?
Because they need to outdo each other.
Ah, right.
You see, every time they broadcast,
right,
they need to find at least one name
ridiculous.
That they can represent to us, re-identified and pronounced.
So they're getting it's one-upmanship?
Yes, within their business, it will be, yes.
God.
Yes.
It's just a nonsense.
It is, yes. I mean, I don't mind anglophiling a number of these names
yes.
because they're easier for us to identify. Yes. I think these days commentators want to come up with the correct pronunciation from the language in which these guys would use themselves.
Yeah.
And that's Bellerin became Bellerin. Well, yeah, I get that. If
Soufal
you speak Spanish,
became Soufal all of a
he
sudden.
He did, yes.
He's became Soufal.
Yes.
I mean,
so now you've got Soufal and Souček, or maybe it's
I don't think it's Souček.
Chuchek.
I think it's Susek because it's a C as well.
It might be.
So Susek.
Anyway, keep going, boys. It's fascinating.
It is.
What have you got there? You found on your phone this morning?
Oh, my son, as he does, he delves into it. Obviously, he gets lots of stuff, and he sent me a picture of you and I 9 years ago.
Not unique, a picture of you and I?
No, 9 years ago, it might have been a bit more unique, I think, in those days, after the forest fire that engulfed us. But it was 9 years ago now, at the end of the season, 9 years ago, that you and I won a prestigious radio award.
Sonny Gold.
Correct.
Which was the equivalent. Sadly, I don't think those awards exist anymore, but they were the equivalent of the Oscars.
Yes.
So at the end of our first year on Talk Sport, it was extraordinary, really, because they didn't really want to give it to us, did
no,
they?
No, of course they didn't.
But they didn't.
So I say, persona non grata. Persona non grata, then. We were lucky.
Second year, we came second to 5 weeks of Olympic coverage on Five Live.
That was good, though.
Which was nonsense.
It was good.
It must have been very good to have won an award for 5 weeks of radio when we'd done another year.
Yeah.
But they were great. I've said this so many times, Andy. They were great years. It was a wonderful, wonderful.
Have you got that award?
No,
Can we give it back to Talk Sport?
Yeah, it's left at base, yes. Ah. It sits in a cabinet all on its own.
No, I think they've won another since. Oh, yeah, recently. In the last year or so, I think they have added to the collection, but it took a while.
Right, a couple of other things. The wages at Tottenham have been published.
Oh, fascinating. Can I guess?
Bale.
How much are Tottenham paying him, or how much in total?
Gross.
From him, I would say, well, Bale was, what was he alleged on? 600?
650. The next
it's got to be Harry Kane.
Yes.
So Bale's on 650. Kane won't be on a third of that. I would say 200.
Spot on. The third one you might struggle with. I'll give you the figures. 160 grand a week. You've got to identify the individual this time.
160 grand a week. 160 grand a week.
Ndombele.
Yeah.
I would like to blame Ndombele.
Ndombele, but I can't.
I took him off.
Ndombele is 160.
Son, 140. Hoiberg, 102. Dele Alli, 100 grand.
Do you know when you look at that and you hear those figures, they're not as extravagant
as most. Because this is Tottenham. This is Daniel Levy.
Well, no wonder they might lose Harry Kane. Mm. Harry Kane's getting 200 and he's got any Gareth. How much are you on this month, Gareth? Yeah, this week?
I think we all know that. And that's different. I mean, Harry Kane is, to all intents and purposes, the top earner at Tottenham on 200 grand a week.
Yeah. Hold on. Tottenham must be paying Gareth 250? Three?
What? I don't think so.
No?
No, I really don't think they'd have done the deal at that kind of money. No. Daniel, well,
that's a million a month.
The cojones of that's Real
a million
Madrid
a month.
Very
if
tight.
If they're paid 250, it's a million a month, 12 million a year. Is he not worth that? Is it on a loan?
I'm not sure that he's, whatever they've paid him, been worth this year. He doesn't look to me as though he's interested. He looks to me like he's quite literally going through the motions. Yeah, yes, his goals record at Tottenham's been good.
That is good, right?
But he wasn't being played by Mourinho for a reason, and he is being played by Ryan Mason for a reason, because he's been told to play him. There you go. Now, this from Mark Owen today, who I grew up with. Mark was a colleague of mine at Haters many, many years ago, writes for The Sun now, and this did make me smile. If, God forbid, Sam Allardyce wore skinny jeans and a knitted blazer, would people now be linking him with the vacant Tottenham job? If Sean Dyche was a little less gravelly, would he be lauded for the fantastic job that he done at Burnley? Mm-hmm. Mark goes on to say, I only ask because of the praise currently being lavished on Scott Parker, which surely can't be down to his achievements as the manager of Fulham. To read some of those tributes, you would think that his team were challenging for Champions League qualification rather than heading straight back to the Championship. Parker did his best to keep Fulham out of the relegation zone, but ultimately failed. And there's no shame in that, and he's absolutely right about that. But some of the compliments Scotty gets. Remember when he won Player of the Year in a season when West Ham were relegated?
Yeah, I know.
It's very London-centric, isn't it?
The press.
Many of the opinions. Now, you know, Scott, for me this year, honest, naive.
Yeah.
John Gorman. Remember all those years ago at Swindon? I am not going to compromise our beliefs. Yeah. We'll continue to play like this, even if it means we're going down. That was about the October, I think. And it was inevitable they were going down.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Fulham have come up playing the way they did in the Championship against less quality opposition.
Yeah.
And they were winning plenty of games.
Correct.
But you can't play like that in the Premier League.
No. No. Not when you're Fulham.
No.
You know, you can look around at all these so-called teams that play the right way. That's the other thing with people like Scott Parker and Eddie Howe, Graham Potter. We're all told that these are the coaches. These are the ones. They play football the right way. Let me have a think. Scott Parker going down. Eddie Howe?
Out of work.
Graham Potter, is he, although they're playing football the right way, is he taking them to higher echelons than our mate did?
No. Chrissy fought until the last day of the season. Potter's had them save three or four games from the end of the season. In each of the two seasons he's been there.
Chris didn't fight to the last game. Every season he was there.
No, Graham will have embraced and done what was asked of him.
Yes.
And those that employed him will also themselves be taking a great deal of credit for that. Mm-hmm. Dan Ashworth, who used to be in charge of technical department at England, of course. But I just think that, particularly with a big lump of a centre forward, you know, playing football the wrong way, if that's what it is.
Yeah.
But the winning football, as Dyche would call it, as Allardyce calls it, mm-hmm. I don't see the problem with that.
No.
I mean, Scotty has been the master of keeping people on side by saying all of the right things and more, but doing few of the right things and little.
I mean, the record is really poor.
Horrendous.
Really poor. I mean,
In 21.
Yeah, something like that. And listen, I mean, I was going to say you and I could have done that. Got 1.21, but I'd like to think I might have got two at least. I think I might have done, even with my lack of coaching ability. But it is. He's right about what he says about Sean Dyche, in particular Sean, because you know he's still of an age where he must be ambitious, and that Burnley isn't his last staging post, and that something else awaits him. But he's Sean Dyche. He talks with a gravelly voice. He plays 4-4-2 most of the time. But my goodness, he's effective at what he does.
Mm.
Totally effective. And I've always said to you, heaven forbid that every single football team in the Premier League plays the same way. That would just drive me to distraction.
Well, there was a great example last night, Thursday. I said to you, as we watched Villa taking a throw in 10 yards from the Everton byline. 10
yeah,
yards.
Right. It was,
and three passes later, it was with the keeper. and I said to you, were you playing now? It would drive you to distraction.
It would drive you to distraction.
Wouldn't see a cross.
No, you wouldn't see the ball. You wouldn't see a cross. I mean, the people who win you games probably see less of the ball than anyone else. The people who save you games, centre-backs, goalkeepers, but particularly centre-backs, probably, on average, I would say on average, because not every game, obviously, but on average, when you do passes at the end of every Premier League game, the centre-backs are right up there in the top three.
Mm.
Why? Why?
Because they start everything off, because you move the opposition around, because you tease them into a press.
Do you really?
And then you play through them and create an opportunity. Not many, but occasionally an opportunity.
So even, actually, I looked at Guardiola's team this year. They've been terrific. They've handled the pandemic, I think, better than anybody, right? But I thought, okay, they've done this, they've done that. He's moved on. What have they done? What have they done? They're, I think, about... Certainly 20-plus goals down on last year. Scored 102 goals last year, coming second to Liverpool. 102. They've got 74 this year, nearly 30 less.
Well, what he did was he changed two sitters into one and played two pivots ahead of them, didn't he?
I'll tell you what he did, and it might have been that. Do you think...
I was being a tad facetious.
I know. Yeah. Well, I know you've been very facetious. I know you were. Showing us your knowledge, you see, Scott. But what I'm saying, do you think he didn't sit there and watch what Liverpool had done with regards to buying Virgil van Dijk? They bought Virgil van Dijk and it transformed them. I think he might have sat there and think, and we know he's needed a centre-back since company went.
Mm-hmm.
He got Diaz in, who's been van Dijk-like for them. He's a leader. You can tell he's a good defender. He defends, he puts his body on the line. Things that you don't associate with Manchester City normally. We don't talk about things like that. But what he's done with Diaz getting them in and the resurgence of John Stones has made them a much harder team to beat. They don't score as many goals, Richard, but they don't concede as many. And maybe that's what he's done. You used to say to me, tell me a good defender he's had. And you were right for a long time. You know, after company went, they searched for defender after defender.
500 million he spent on centre-backs.
But he found one in Diaz. And I think it was the 5-1 thumping they got at from Leicester?
Yes, at home, yes.
Right, when he said, I need to get somebody, he went and got Diaz. Now, Diaz, has transformed their season. He's tweaked things. Of course he has. We know he has, because he always does. But without a doubt for me, the major thing was he's got two centre-backs that know how to defend. And that is a major plus when you play in the Premier League. And it's made a huge difference to him. Yes, they've got great players. And when you can defend like they do now, I mean, when you get the ball forward to your attacking players, that's why he can play just one sitter and not two. Because he doesn't need two. He only needs one now. And in their heyday, when they first arrived with Fernandinho, Fernandinho was the one who sat when he first came, right? He was the one who sat, and then you had De Bruyne and, say, David Silva. They were the other two midfield players. Now, they were the creative arm of that three. So Fernandinho just sat, broke up attacks. Many times did we see, look at him fouling again, fouling again, tactical foul. He did it all the time because he knew, I'm the man. So when Kevin and David Silva lose it, I just have to break the play up. Now they've got Rodri who does that. Now they can play two ahead of him. There's Bernardo Silva, De Bruyne, whoever you want to play in there. And he can do that now. Whereas earlier in the season, he was playing the two sitters. And Gundogan's been a huge asset to them. And where he was a deep line midfield player, Gundogan, suddenly he's been given license to go. And I think he might be the top goal scorer in the league, Ilkay Gundogan. But I think little things like that, and it is only tweaking it. But the biggest single factor for me is they've stopped conceding goals and they're a hard team to play against.
That was fascinating, I thought, last night. Again, it depends when you're listening, but I'll refer back. Last night, Thursday, watching Manchester United play Liverpool, you made that very point as we watched it and said he doesn't need McTominay and Fred. I mean, literally 5 minutes later, he took Fred off.
I know.
And they got on the front foot and they started asking questions again. And they were at their best, I felt, in the whole of the match at that point.
Yeah.
Happily, Liverpool won because I think justice has been done and they deserved to win that game, Liverpool, and I'm really pleased that it turned out like that.
So you could tweak things in footballish, and that's written in stone. What I was talking about is there are going to be certain games when you play really good teams, particularly in Europe. You play teams that are as good or better than you who have got a massively creative midfield and you go away from home. So you might want to play two sitters. You might want to play two sitters there to protect it. Look at, remember Fergie, way back in the day, Alex, in Europe, would always go with five across midfield,
absolutely,
wouldn't he?
Yes, yes.
Because he wasn't stupid.
Would always play Fletcher.
Always play Fletcher. Always put an extra man in midfield away from home when they got him back to Old Trafford, 4-4-2, batter them. So I think United, they don't need two sitters. They don't need McTominay and Fred. I would release McTominay if I play him more, right? Because he can score goals, and he will score goals, Scott McTominay. I like him a lot, but I think he's restricted when he plays alongside Fred, and they don't need it. So there are certain games when you might, but the vast majority of games in the Premier League, you don't. Teams don't play with two up front very often unless you play Burnley. So you've got your two centre-backs, your one sitter, there's your three defensive players to start with. What's wrong with that? That should be enough. And when you get broken on quickly, all you ask those three to do is hold up the play until we get support back. Yes, you might get caught, as they did in the last minute, Thursday, Manchester United. But they were throwing everybody ahead. Mm. They wanted a goal. They needed to get back in it. And they got caught with a sucker punch. That happens. But that doesn't happen in a normal game in the 50th minute, hardly. You don't throw too many men and overcommit. You keep your three as your basis, your axis if you want. And you can do it. And I think United can do that. And what I would say is you could play a Fred or a McTominay as a sitter and put Paul Pogba, I think, better ahead a bit and play like Pogba and Fernandes is like two, what would it be? What number would we be using? Eights, tens?
Eight, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
Eight and then a ten.
Yeah. So
you're talking 4-2-2-2?
No, I'm not. That's Southampton. But I just think that sometimes, you know, we get obsessed with picking people and just saying that's how we're going to play. No, I just think United at times need to just release a few more. And you don't need two sitting. I've always believed that. Good teams, really good teams. Don't, if you've got a perfect sitter, if you've got one who, like a Makalele, who did for Chelsea.
A Kante,
right? You know, a Fernandinho, who was magnificent for Manchester City playing that role. Magnificent. Now Rodri's attempted to be the new Fernandinho. When you have players like that, you can afford to release your fullbacks. You can afford to release two other midfield players at the high end of the pitch, where you can actually win the game. So, anyway, that's my two penny for what it's worth.
Thank you. No, I'm I refer you back to the Dalai.
And by the way, when you hear things like that, that's why I'm sitting across the table from you.
I refer you back to the Dalai Lama.
Oh, yeah.
I think there is a difference between hearing and listening.
And listening.
And those of us who have listened to what you had to say for the last 10 minutes.
Do you think Luis listened?
I think I've learned.
Do you think Luis listened, or do you think he just heard?
Our Portuguese colleague, I like to think, has been listening.
Do you think so?
Yes, he's nodding.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Right, let's introduce our guest. As I said earlier, once transferred for a bag of balls and 500 quid. But he went on, anyway, in fairness, let me balance that out. He went on to have a fabulous career.
Yes, he did.
So before we introduce our guest,
yes.
I'd like just to restage a very important moment in his career.
Right, okay. Right.
Anfield.
His football career.
Yes, right. Anfield.
Because he's quite talented, isn't he?
Anfield.
Right.
The game of not just that century, but probably the one before and since, okay? Collymore scores.
Yes, last minute.
As a result of a very good ball into the box. Now, do you remember what you said, and can you replicate what you said for us now before we introduce our guest?
Well, you have to understand, I was at the height of excitement there. I was up.
You've been paid fortunes down the years to act. Do it.
Oh, that was a horrible ball to deal with.
Jason McAteer, the man who played that horrible ball. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I know I'm an afterthought because you probably had about 80 of these shows, haven't you?
Well, and, you see, that's not fair.
Guest, but thanks very much.
That's not fair.
We've only done 70.
Yeah. No, I did say to Andy this week, I think that we would have some fun with, and it would be good if he will join us. And it would have been easy for you to say no. So thank you, Jason, for joining us.
Yes.
Can I just take you back to that cross?
Yes.
That was something was born that night, and it was the term buffet ball.
Oh, yes.
That came from that cross, as in, like, a buffet is obviously help yourself.
Feast yourself,
so
yes.
So I put it on a plate for Stan Collymore, didn't I? So that the night the buffet ball was born.
Well, it was a buffet ball.
Yeah, it used to be who was it used the phrase? It was a World Cup Willie of a ball.
That was Dave Bassett.
A World Cup Willie of a ball. Became the buffet ball.
No, the World Cup Willie of a ball became the Hollywood ball.
Ah.
And then I think came
Hollywood's
the buffet ball,
isn't it?
Hollywood's sort of clever ball, isn't it? One that
I remember the buffet ball. That was great. I liked that one.
So you're knocking around with Bono again, Jason. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, we've rekindled the love for each other over the greatest game in the world. Football has brought us together like it does so many. To be honest, it's a bit of a story. Social media, I don't deal with DMs really from social media. I just overlook them. If you want to speak to me, you can get my email or my phone number quite easily, because I know you'll give it out to anybody, Keezy.
Keezy does. Anybody.
No, Jace, I've been trying for years
to give it out.
There's been no takers.
So I don't really deal with DMs, but for some reason, this DM which came to me, which was, hi, I'm a film director and a music video director, and I'd love you to be in my next project, kind of I took with a pinch of salt. So there's a lad who sort of does a few things for me. So I sent it his way, and I said,
Sorry, Jay. The lad who does a few things for me.
He's his agent.
That's the agent. Yeah. Sorry.
Why did you say that?
I don't know.
I think he's embarrassed.
He's got an agent.
Yes.
Well, everybody has.
Anyway, he's big time. You got an agent. So go on. What did your agent say?
Well, I need one, Keith. You know what it is. So he rings up the film director, who throws a name at me called Martin Garrix. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful for Martin. He's probably got 10 million followers on Twitter and social media. He's one of the biggest DJs in the world. But me touching 50 in June, obviously it bypassed me. You know,
I'm ashamed of the pair.
Did you not mention him to me last week?
Great lad. He is the king of the wheels of steel. Comfortably. Anyway, carry on.
Anyway, my 21-year-old ears pricked up because Martin Garrix is obviously on his playlist on his iPhone, isn't it? So he says to me, Dad, he said, do you realise who this fella is? I'm like, no. He said, he's like the Richard Keys of broadcasting. He's like top of his game.
No, he's got to be better than that. Come on, Jason, for God's sake.
we digress. So anyway, the premise was, do you want to be in the official Euros 21 music video? Bono's wrote the song with Martin Garrix. And Bono, obviously, with the goal against Holland, you know, he knows who you are. He loved that moment where he puts the flag around him, and it was so iconic. And he'd love to replicate.
Sorry to keep interrupting, and hopefully we will get to the conclusion of this story at some point. But anyway, you let him down that night, didn't you?
I did. I thought it was a wind-up, yeah. I get in the dressing room after scoring the greatest goal in Irish history and my life, and I'm still dining on it right now.
Why not? I would.
Well, the situation was, you two were in Slane that night. There was 100,000 people at the concert, and they played our game. before they come on stage. And obviously, when they were out, the atmosphere was electric because we won. So I go into the dressing room after the game, and having planned a night out with John Aldridge, win, lose or draw, and the physio comes up to me and says, as you do, Bono has been on the phone and he'd like you to fly up by helicopter to Slane and go on stage with them in front of 100,000 people. Yeah. But the bit that got me was, and he wants you to stay in your kit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What? What?
Where's like, Beadle?
Covered in mud. Yeah. Yeah, so instantly thought it was a wind-up, instantly thought it was a joke. So I said, listen, tell Bono, I hope he has a great night, but I'm on the diesel tonight with John Aldridge. Yeah, I'm on the lash tonight with John Aldridge. So I declined the offer thinking it was a wind-up. It was only 6 months later I realised it wasn't a wind-up and I was supposed to walk out with Bono.
Oh, wow. That would have been sensational.
I don't regret much. I don't regret much in my career. Yeah, I know, but I regret that. So I've managed to get second best. So I get asked to do to be in the official Euros 21 music video, which Bono wrote the song with Martin Garrix, the DJ. So I travelled down to London about 2 weeks ago and shot it with Ollie, the film director.
Of course,
got hold of me through social media.
Ollie. By the way, he's good at what he does.
Yeah,
very
good.
Ollie. Yeah, he's good.
And they sent me it last night, the first cut. It got launched last night at 12 o'clock. It's big launch, the big screen, and which was last night. And yours truly features heavily in the last 5 seconds of the video.
well done. Good.
I think that's the best five
seconds,
in my opinion.
It's great.
It's the best 5 seconds.
I didn't like to interject again, but when Jay said you two were at Slane Castle that night, I thought he meant us.
I know. I did as well.
Was that when you were winning?
I thought, was I? I don't remember that. I must have had a good night as well.
Was that when you were winning awards?
Very good point. Funny enough, before you joined us, we mentioned the award, Jason. Yes. Yeah, we have mentioned that. Okay, so here we go with a few comparisons. Okay.
Go on.
Fowler or Owen?
Now, do I have to pick who I want?
You have to pick the better of the two and who you would like.
Who you'd have in your team.
Yes.
Oh, Fowler, all day long. I can't even believe you put that in a comparison.
No, me too. I'll do it after him.
Why?
Fowler.
Why?
I would have Fowler in my team.
Yeah, okay. But neither of you has said why. And Jason said all day long, suggesting to me that Robbie Fowler was an infinitely better player than Michael Owen.
Well, to me, Jesse Owen was a hurdler in the Olympics and he like couldn't kick a ball to save his life. No, I know what you mean. To play with Robbie at Liverpool, when he's such an iconic figure and loved by the cop, you know, there was that adulation for him. You felt that. And, you know, he grew in stature and, you know, his all-round game become better very quickly. He was, you know, he was at least a 25-goal-a-season player.
So was Michael
Owen. Yeah. He was fantastic in the dressing room. Win, lose or draw, he was always there to pick you up. He trained ridiculously hard on all kinds of finishing. And for me, the kind of player I was, I'm putting balls into an area where I want my centre forward. I don't want to be threading balls through the eye of a needle for a player on the shoulder. You know, I didn't play in the centre of the park. So Jamie would probably have said Michael. I'd say Robbie Fowler because I'm putting crosses in and he's scoring headers and left foot, right foot. He was just a complete striker for me.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
A more rounded player for me. Involved in the overall play of the game. Whereas Michael, for me, was, I'm not too worried if I get involved in build-up with anything. I'm not too worried of whether I do this, whether I do that. But I'm going to be on the end of anything that someone slides through.
So can we then suggest, or I'll put it up for discussion briefly. Fowler would be pissed off if he lost 5-1, whereas Michael, if he'd scored, wouldn't necessarily be very unhappy.
I'll comment on that. I'll leave that for Jason.
I've just looked through my diary and I'm going to see Michael next.
All right. Here's your next challenge.
Right, go on.
I'm going to say yes to that question, by the way.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your next challenge. Keane or Gerrard?
That's a stupid
question.
No, it's not.
Robbie.
I knew you'd ask that. You know what I mean. It's not a stupid question.
No. I thought he fell out with Keno.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to play with Steven at the top of his game. So I can't comment, but what I'm hearing from everybody who did was he was absolutely sensational. You know, I've only watched from afar, or like you boys, you know, and appreciated what he's done over the years, and, you know, watched him carry a Liverpool, a very poor Liverpool team, you know, to relative success. So, yeah,
Hold on. What do you mean a very poor Liverpool team to relative success? They won everything except the league.
Well, they didn't really. When the FA Cup, the top of the game.
When the Champions League?
Yeah, exactly.
FA Cup.
So, Gerrard or Keane? You've spoken a lot about Gerrard.
Which is leading to... Having played with Roy, I did think he was sensational. Do you know what? I actually didn't get it in training. I thought, what's all the fuss about? He used to put balls over the bar wide. Right. He was like, bang average in training. And, I mean, trained hard. I'm not saying he didn't shake his responsibilities, but on the pitch, he was just something else. Yeah. And in the dressing room, ridiculous. He lifted everybody and, you know, we made you perform. And, yeah,
I think they're different, Jason, as well. They're different.
Of course they are. I know they're different, but I wanted to know what he would say about both individuals. Bearing in mind what you said earlier, he did fall out with Keane. Put that in your book, you prick.
Is that what you said to him?
Yes.
Oh, that's scandalous.
Don't ever use the P word. I don't know if you used the P word.
I think you did. I think you might have used something stronger than that.
It was the foot word I used.
Okay, here comes your next challenge.
Oh. Yeah.
Lampard or Redknapp?
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
Shut up.
Yes, I'm
serious. I mean, come on. Even I'm chuckling at that. Get off. It's not even a comparison to be made.
Of course it's not.
Oh, sorry, carry on, Jason. I'm just setting it up to you.
Andy, that's like asking Keyes or Gray to play centre forward in an FA Cup.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm going Lampard. Oh, I'm not even going to give you the reason why.
Well, did you want to expand on that, Jason, and tell us why?
Well, Frank would get you more goals. He was more box to box. He was more dynamic. I didn't play with him, obviously, and I think you get more games out of him.
He's a better player.
Okay. He's been very good so far in accentuating the positive in the comparisons that I've given him. You'll have noticed that.
Has he got some negatives?
Well, ask him. What sort of player was Redknapp? That wasn't me.
That wasn't me either.
We're in company, Jason. That was a view from the audience.
Yes.
I overheard it, yes. I know it probably is. Jamie was on the ball, very good. Range of passing was, you know, excellent. Wasn't a great tackler, wasn't a great header of the ball.
Brave?
He was injury prone, wasn't he, unfortunately. I think, you know, he's a big lad, Jamie, actually. He's about 6'2", 6'3". People don't see that, but I just don't think his body was conducive to playing a lot of football.
Was he part of the White Suit Brigade?
He was very much a part of the White Suit Brigade.
Was he?
Yeah, he was instrumental in that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I don't want to go there. Okay, here's one for you. This is easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay?
I thought the last one was easy. Yeah.
Barnes. There's no comparison. I couldn't think of a comparison. I could not think of a comparison to go alongside Barnes.
At Liverpool?
No.
At any club, I just thought Barnsley was magnificent and unique. Was. And I wonder what Jason would say. Ended up calling him boss at Tranmere, of course. Very, very close. Good mate.
That didn't go well, did it?
There was a silence there, wasn't there? I thought we'd lost them for a minute.
Tell the story then of the departure when Barnsley was sacked and you were trying to, a little bit like Liverpool last night, cunningly drop a shoulder and lose the mob. You came up with a really cute plan, didn't you, to get him out?
What club was this?
Tranmere.
Oh, okay, Tranmere.
Okay, and at the time, Barnsley's lost his license, so he's cycling to him from work.
Right.
Sacked, get on your bike.
Uh-huh.
Jason had a very cunning plan.
What was that?
Which was, Jace?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we were only 3 months into our job, so, I mean, the paint was still wet in his office, to be honest, so I didn't really see it coming. and he did used to cycle in about a four-mile cycle ride from home to work and back again to keep the chunk off. And We had the club bike, the club cycle that he was riding in. So anyway, I goes in and the chairman's car was in his space, and I'm thinking the chairman's not usually in on a Thursday. This doesn't look good. So goes in, and Barnsley's doing the press conference for the game on Saturday. And for some reason, well, because it's John Barnes, you know, everybody turned up, like Sky, BBC, I think CBBS there at one point. just like everybody wanted an interview with Barnsley. So I sort of bump into the chairman in the corridor, and he says to me, "Listen, could you tell John I want to have a word with him after he's done his press conference?" I said, no problem, Mr. Chairman. So pops me in the room and said, "Chairman wants to see you afterwards." I went and got changed, and by the time I put my kit on, I went into Barnsley's office, and Barnsley was sitting there laughing at me. He said, "I'd put your jeans back on." He said, "We've been back." So I'm like, "Oh, right, that didn't go well, did it?" So, I said to him, "Well, what should we do?" Do you know when you get sacked from a football club, it is mad, you know, because do you know what? Like, you literally walk out the door.
Yeah.
It's like, you just go. It's like you pack your bag and you just walk out and never go back.
I know that feeling, Jason. After an awful long time, I was escorted off the premises at Sky by two security guards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Again, I interrupt. I didn't mean to.
So I said to Digger, I says, "What do you want to do?" And he goes, "Well, I'm going to ride the bike home." So I said to him, "Well, you can't do that. So we've just been sacked. I said, the headlines are there. Like, it's going to be back page tomorrow on your bike."
Yeah.
You.
That's what an assistant does.
You can't do that.
Thoughtful. Yeah.
So that was the journalistic in me. Did you see that? The journalistic in me. The journalistic.
Good lad. Yeah.
So I said, "So I'll tell you what, we'll go for a coffee, calm down, and we'll put the bike in the back of the car and I'll drop you off afterwards." He goes, "Good idea." So we goes downstairs, we picks the bike, packs our bikes, goes downstairs, gets the bike. And Barnsley's always on his phone, isn't he? He's always on his phone. So he's on his phone, and I'm trying to get this car, this bike, in the back of my car. So it won't go in. So next thing, my phone goes, and I answer my phone, and it's me mate. And he just goes to me, "Turn the wheel of the bike the other way." So I went, "What?" He went, "That bike is trying to get in your car there." He went, "Turn the wheel right round the other way, and it'll slide in." So I went, "Where are you?" Because I was in the car, but I went, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm at home on the couch." He said, "I'm watching you live on Sky right now."
Trying to sneak out.
Filming it live.
Oh, brilliant. Right.
I went to Barnsley and went, "Get off that phone. We're on the telly. Get in the car."
Back to our comparisons. There are four left.
Go on.
Again, yep. Everything has been constructed with a purpose.
Right, okay.
James or Friedel? Yep.
James or Friedel? Oh, my God. Do you know what? You've done well here, Keezy. I can tell you've stayed in all night.
Yeah, he has.
Thinking of these.
He has been in all night. You're right.
I'm going to have to go with J-Mo.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Do you know what, Keezy? You look at the stats of 96, 97, maybe 98 as well, when we were going for the title, and you would probably say it was Liverpool's defensive problems that you would probably look at just from now without having looked at the stats. You look at the table, we had one of the best defensive records that season, or them three seasons. We didn't concede a lot of goals, and people would point to J-Mo as making mistakes. He did. He just made crucial mistakes at the wrong time.
Oh, so, well, high-profile, you know, mistakes, yeah.
You see,
high-profile mistakes.
They ganged up on Brad and got him out.
They didn't?
Yeah, they did.
You're joking.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Player power?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
We don't want him, Evo.
I wasn't there.
Oh.
I've been escorted off the premises by Gerard Houllier and
right.
Phil Thompson.
Okay. Evans or Houllier?
Yeah. Oh, that's another Keys and Grey Cup final on Saturday, that one. That's Roy Evans all day long.
Yeah.
Right. And I know we've sadly lost Gerard, passed away, and God rest his soul, but we didn't see eye to eye. But when he's the boss and you're the player, there's only one winner.
What did Didi Haman tell you about joining Liverpool?
What? Sorry, say that again.
What did Didi Haman tell you about signing for Liverpool? It was a big day for Gerrard.
So he said to me, when Gerard Houllier rang me up and asked me to sign, he said I agreed, and Gerard wanted to take me out for dinner. He said, I met Gerard and his wife, and we went for a bite to eat. And he said, he said, Gerard Houllier turned around to me, he said, Diddy, he says, great to have you on board. He said, I've done the best bit of business I have ever done in my managerial career. And Didier Mann said to him, why, who have you signed now? Who's joining Liverpool? Who's joining the club? He went, no. He said, I've managed to squeeze £4 million out of Blackburn for McAteer.
Oh, that's nuts.
That's nasty, that, isn't it? That's nasty.
Okay, two to go.
Go on.
Souness or Rioch?
What, in a fight? Or
no,
just like,
to be around, to play for?
That'd be a scrap.
That would be a scrap. See, I when I joined Villa when I was a kid, Bruce was there.
Mm.
And he was nasty.
Do you know when?
So sweet.
You know when you? Do you know when? Like time and history, it's kind of like with boxers. They do it with boxers, don't they? And they'll go, "I'd love to see him, yeah. Muhammad Ali, yeah. fight yeah. like someone recent now, like Lennox Lewis or something like that."
Yeah.
And I'd love to have seen like there's some scraps I'd love to have seen in football where you think I'd love them two to have gone head to head. And like you've just brought it up there, Rioch against Souness. Yeah. I don't know whether they would have come across each other. Andy, would they?
No, I don't think so.
Probably. No,
well,
probably.
Hold on. I was in 75. I came to England. Bruce was still at Villa, but wasn't playing.
I think they would have avoided each other, probably. Yeah. It was one of those. I mean,
so when 75, so you'd have been where, Middlesbrough?
75. No, Liverpool. He's probably just starting his career at Liverpool. 70. No, later. 77, 77, 78, Liverpool. Yeah. He was there for 79 final. Yeah, so I think he'd have come across
Bruce.
See, Suey and Terry Yorath used to go toe-to-toe. Until Terry was stretchered off one occasion. I remember Graham telling me about, actually applauding Graham, thought he'd inflicted clever damage. But as two individuals, Jason, you would have warmed to which before the other?
depends who he's going to bump into.
Bruce, he just whispered Bruce.
I didn't see eye to eye. This is running a common theme, this podcast, isn't it, of me not getting on with people.
If I've strayed into that area, that would be by accident.
Yeah.
Last one, which maybe I think you'll enjoy. Okay?
Go on.
Neville or McAteer?
Well, hands down in a fight, me. Better right back, me. Better pundit, me. Just all round general good guy, me.
Yes, okay.
Okay, can't find it to argue with you.
There you go. There's no positives I can think for the other corner, to be honest.
Do you think, though, seriously, as a player, does it sum up the differences between systems, if you like, that we were again discussing before you joined us? You were a different sort of player, weren't you?
Yeah, I was very much more dynamic, didn't I? And I didn't have the help of Cristiano Ronaldo or Beckham in front of me, you know, so, you know, to accentuate how good I
you
was.
Didn't. Who did you have in front of you then? Let's get down.
We'll mack it every now and again.
Your brother-in-law,
Yeah. Sure, he'll be happy with that statement.
Well, he'll know better than anybody. Yeah. Halfway line, no, I'm not going back beyond that.
Yeah. I wasn't a Gary Neville fan. I thought he was, to be honest, I thought he was an average defender in an exceptional team. And he was very much, from my impressions, very much a teacher's pet and did everything. Did everything Sir Alex Ferguson wanted, was great in the dressing room as a talker. You know, he kind of did everything right, probably stayed late for training, probably brought Alex an apple every day and, you know, just stayed till 6 o'clock at night to impress him.
Yeah, and I think as time's passed, he's become a better player. I actually would agree with that.
Very, very,
ordinary in a really good side for a long period of time, in fairness. So, you know, had something going for him, but there we are.
You'd never get the feeling that Liverpool and Man United don't like each other, would you?
No. That was nice last night, wasn't it?
I knew you'd enjoy that.
I think justice was done, Jason. That would be my view.
What, after Leicester?
No. Yes, after Leicester and after the riot, which I mean, I said at the time, Jason, can you imagine if Liverpool fans had stopped two team buses leaving city centre hotels and subsequently had a match postponed? We'd still be talking about it.
I think it's disgusting what happened. It wasn't a protest. I'm all for protests and peaceful and demonstrations done in the right manner. And if they want to do that about their owners, then do it in a constructive right way. Don't break into a football ground and hurt people and damage property and, you know, run around boxes and up dressing rooms and tunnels and all that. It's ridiculous. It was just, I would say it was a minority against the majority, but even so, it was disgusting and should never have happened.
No.
And, you know, it shouldn't have been called on by certain people either.
Agreed.
I feel that didn't help.
No.
And, you know, in all honesty, everyone's moaning about how many games they're playing in so many days. It wouldn't have been like that.
No, it's not fault, Jason.
It's the fans' fault.
That's
the point. It's what people tend to have missed. But that's why I'm saying I think justice was ultimately done. Jason, thank you.
Yes.
Always a pleasure.
Terrific.
You know that award-winning duo that you are.
Well, hopefully we'll see you soon.
You didn't listen to what he
said. I did. Maybe I'm getting blasé when he says award-winning duo.
I was very grateful for what he said, and thank you, Jason, for mentioning that again.
I know. I need to check my diary because obviously Bono and me are now best mates. I'm probably going on tour with you too.
Of course.
I might never see it again.
That's true.
Do please pass him our best wishes.
I shall. I'm Jason. Martin Garrix.
Yeah. Great to talk. Great lad. I told you. Jason McAteer, thank you again. It's worth a watch, by the way. Martin Garrix featuring Bono and the Edge.
Oh,
Bono and the Edge.
Easy. Yes. Get it right.
And we've overrun again, but I think it was worth it. So if
Very
you want to get
so.
In touch, do please at Instagram and Twitter at Keys and Grey Pod.
Correct.
A-N-D at Keys and Grey Pod. And we'll be with you next week. And once again, big, big thanks to Jason McAteer.
Correct.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.